1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
So that's going good for you, huh?
Phil, it's going wonderfully well. And working at the university doing this kind of research is a passion of mine, absolutely, yes.
Herb Sewell is with us. Mr. Sewell is going to be talking about some research that he is doing, or you are assisting in some research having to do with the stay-at-home mom. And the first thing that we have to let people know, Herb, is that you spend a good deal of time incarcerated.
That is correct, yes.
You were 8 years at the Atascadero Forensic Hospital, and your crimes were what?
I was convicted, Phil, in a series of molestations, as well as a violent crime against individuals and minors. And I spent 8 years at the Atascadero Forensic Hospital in Atascadero, California, where I was introduced to some very wonderful people. Dr. Emery was one, a number of them who helped me, and I have since been released. The halfway house reentry program, penal system, state of California. And I just retained employment here at this university and after the university. And I'm very, very grateful. And I wanted to say one other thing, Phil, if I could. And that has to do with the friendship that you've extended me. And I don't want to say it's friendship, but obviously, the things I've done in my life are not good things, and you get very used to people avoiding you, or at the very worst, people engaging you in a very hostile way. And so, I do appreciate the respect and the common courtesy that you've afforded me over the time that I've been on your program.
Well, you know what? What you did was horrible. It's not going to do me any good to just sit here and scream and yell at you. But if you're mindful of these terrible things and you're working to change that, then, you know, but what you did, I got to tell you, Herb, you're never going to be able to pay it back in your life.
I'm aware of that, and I'm aware that myself and people such as myself are outsiders, really looking from the outside looking in. But that's why I've enjoyed this research work so very much.
Well, what is it about this? Now, you were saying to Wayne that a lot of your research has to do with the phenomenon of the stay-at-home mom. What does that mean?
Phil, sometime in the early 1980s to mid-1980s, women began to return to the home. There was a real spike in working mothers from the mid-1960s through the early to mid-1980s. That coincided with the empowerment movement of women's liberation. It also coincided really with the opening of the marketplace in terms of business and higher technology business, where they really didn't need the manpower. And so women began to go into the workplace at executive levels, especially, in much higher numbers than ever before. In the early 1980s to the mid-1980s, particularly this was during the Reagan era, where there was a very conservative feel in the nation, women began to return home and became what we call stay-at-home moms. I was, Phil, fascinated because, and as I indicated to you before we began this conversation, that I have been excluded, I have been ostracized because of the crimes that I've committed. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying that what I did was right. But I became interested in why an individual such as myself, who admittedly committed some very serious destructive crimes, why I was being focused on. And this phenomenon, these women who have decided to leave the breadwinning up to their husbands, why these women were not more closely looked at. And the reason why I say that is because I understand that what I did was destructive. I understand that what I did was wrong. I wondered how many of these women who are stay-at-home moms understand the destructiveness of their behavior. So I began looking into...
Well, what do you mean destructiveness of their behavior?
The stay-at-home mom, Phil, is at home because there is someone else earning the money to... is the breadwinner.
The husband?
Yes, absolutely the husband. But My research found, and you don't have to look very far to find this, that male mortality in America is going up. Men are dying at a younger age. Many of the diseases that they're dying of are stress-related diseases, diseases of the kidneys, the liver, the heart, cardiopulmonary disease, diseases of the lungs. And men do not fully comprehend what is happening to them. They think that they are in a world of stress. Well, yes, they are in a world of stress. You know, they're in a world of stress because, for one reason, they are expected to go out and win the bread or earn the money so their wife can sit at home.
All right, but hold on. A lot of these men would tell you, not just the wives, tell you, their wives are doing a valuable job. Their wives are raising the children.
Well, that may well be. But men have a tendency to delude themselves a bit when it comes to their women. In other words, they want to believe they're doing the best thing for their wife and their, quote, baby, end quote. I'm using a colloquial expression I hear a lot of men use, you know, my wife and baby sort of thing. Well, that's all well and good, but while I'm in a halfway house and my every move is scrutinized, sitting at home across America every day are millions of American women at home alone with children. And no one wants to ask the hard questions about that. That's why I said to you, I appreciate you, Phil, and others who have reached out a hand to me and have said, all right, I know that you are a monster. I know I'm a monster. I've no doubt I'm a monster, and I'll always be a monster till the day I die, but I appreciate anyone who reached a hand out. You see what I'm saying, Phil?
No, wait. You were a convicted child molester.
That is correct, yes.
And you are saying that while the scrutiny is on you, there are stay-at-home moms at home alone with their children, and there is no scrutiny on them.
Absolutely none whatsoever, no. Now, I'm not saying anything's happening. In most cases, I'm not saying anything's happening. But I think it's that I would be loath to say it's not happening at all. As a researcher and a devotee of history and social event, you know, I don't know how you can look at a phenomenon that is now 20-some-odd years old and not ask yourself, well, what is going on at that home? We know from the writings of Richard Clandale, we know from the Lois Olson case in St. Paul, Minnesota, we know...
Now, what is the Lois Olson case?
Well, Lois Olson brutalized her 3-year-old adopted son until he died, all while she was a stay-at-home mom, you see.
All right, so she killed this boy?
She killed this child, and the murderer was not discovered for some 10, 15 years. You know, in other words, this child was an adopted child. Well, the blood mother eventually wanted to come find the boy. She went to St. Paul, Minnesota. She did some investigation, found out the child had died, and was told why, and that was not good enough for her. She went to the St. Paul Police Department, enlisted the aid of a detective there. They investigated the case of this poor little boy and found out that the child had been thrown down some stairs repeatedly by this woman, who I am very happy to say at this time is remanded and is in custody and is serving time with the very generous host of the Stillwater Prison in eastern Minnesota. You know,
all right, so the woman was found out, and...
But for every Lois Olson that's found out, how many more are out there crawling through the shadows? And yet, and Phil, to use a colloquial phrase, and you'll forgive me, and if it's not appropriate, I know that you can probably edit it out, but I get my balls busted, you know, because of what I did. And
what you did was as vicious and as horrific a crime as could be committed without actually taking somebody's life. And you know that because you were in a psychiatric hospital.
And I did electroshock. I did insulin shock. You know, I had more needles stuck in me. I want to know why these women... And by the way, Phil, one other thing. In World War II, this country basically was kept at war in the armaments industry because of the hard industry of women. Women were in the factories. Women were making the aircraft, the bombs, the guns, the planes, etc. Now, that was a generation of women that helped us defeat the Nazi. Today, we don't have that. Today, we have a woman indulged, yes. Pampered, perhaps. overindulged by a husband wanting to prove his chivalrous nature? Maybe. But what that man doesn't know is while he leaves her at home, to be the stay-at-home mom, he is out and he is slowly dying of perhaps a tumor on his heart, perhaps a benign brain tumor, perhaps not, perhaps something that will block the blood flow. In other words, this man is dead before his day. He's the walking dead. when I was at the Tascadero, we used to have the phrase "dead man walking," which is what they used up at Folsom in some of the harder cases. The man was a condemned murderer. Well, I say that there are millions of dead men walking out there right now, and yet they are busting my castanets, because of the things I've done. You see.
Well, all right. Herb Sewell is with us, and forgive me, folks. We took a little bit of time there. I want to give our phone number out. It's 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. And Mr. Sewell is as you've just heard him say, he spent a lot of time, 8 years to be exact, not just in prison, but in a hospital for the criminally insane in Atascadero, California. It's called a forensic hospital is the term, because he was convicted of multiple acts of violence against women and children. And he is out now and is at a halfway house, and Herb is working for a research institute now and is basically asking the question, if I got you right, Herb, that while you are being indicted by society for your acts, the stay-at-home mom...
I'm just saying, Phil, the stay-at-home wrong. The stay-at-home mom is under a rock that has yet to be overturned. You know, they talk about, let's dig under every rock. Well, if you pick up one rock with a particularly green and moldy bottom to it, I think underneath it you'll see a woman in a jumper. And you know what I mean? So, in other words...
All right, well, hold on for a minute. I'll get back to you, Herb. And our phone calls for Herb Sewell, if you'd like to talk to him, but we'll discuss this further. Because, you know, it's one thing to say, I did this act and it was bad, but, hey, why don't you guys look at these people? They may be doing it, see? He also said that stay-at-home moms today don't even hold a candle to the armaments women, the World War II women of yesteryear who were actually in factories building planes and ships and bombs. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Herb Sewell, a convicted child molester, on research he's doing into the stay-at-home mom and just what she's all about. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Taking talk radio to the next level. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm joined tonight by Herb Sewell. Mr. Sewell is a research assistant at Anthar University in Santa Cruz, where he is studying... Herb, what is this exactly, man? Is this a class, a professor you're assisting...
No, Phil. It's part of a multi-pronged project to get people more aware of the phenomenon of sort of the return to the conservative family unit that everyone wanted. We've certainly heard quite a bit about it, from the individuals who feel the traditional family values and so on and so forth. And I'm not saying that I don't believe in traditional family values, but. I am currently residing in a two-story house with five other men. All of us recently recently released from custody the state of California for a variety of crimes that admittedly are not... not good, it's putting it lightly. As I was reading about the stay-at-home mom and thinking about a woman playing with a child and then perhaps vacuuming, perhaps cleaning, taking a walk with her child, visiting other mothers, going to the toy store, really being a stay-at-home mom is more of a social event than it is an actual work day. Now, compare that to what the breadwinner in the family is doing, and that is generally the man. This is a man who is working very hard, very diligently, and this is a man who eventually is going to die from some disease or combination of diseases because this woman gladly, now understand, Phil, that women wanted their their empowerment. They wanted to work, but now this almost retreat, if you will, this retreat back under the arbor, you know, this retreat back under the arbor and back into behind the picket fence. Say, well, thank you, Daddy. I've had quite about enough of that, you know. And yet, that phenomenon is dealt with as healthy, while I can't walk down the street to get a package of Salem menthol cigarettes or a magazine without one of these very same stay-at-home moms walking up to me with some scribbled sign she'd made with her child's crayon about the child molesters in the neighborhood, you know. And so,
all right, now look it. You're talking about a lady who you may not like, as opposed to a man who's committed a crime.
No, I'm not at all. I have nothing against these women. But I can tell you something right now. I think that for them to be staying at home and no one looking seriously at the things that they may be doing. And let me underline that word may.
Let's spit it out. Are you saying that these women could be molesting their children?
Well, I just pointed out to you about Lois Olson and how she picked up a baby boy of three. Now, I can tell you, Phil, from experience, how much a three-year-old child weighs.
And okay, look at Herb. I don't...
No, forgive me. I didn't mean to use it in that context. What I'm saying is you can pick a child up at the age of three over your head and just toss him down some stairs, and he will hit the basement cement with one bounce, and one bounce only. Meaning, in other words, if you aim the child off the middle of the stairs, boom, boom, and then crash onto the cement stairs. Nothing more than two, three bounces at best. Now, this vulgar and vicious and disgusting old woman was doing this for years. And what were they doing with Herb Sewell? Taking a baseball bat to my you-know-whats, breaking my castanets.
Because you were attacking and... look, I understand.
So I got arrested for that.
I know you got arrested, but you were doing it, okay? What are you suggesting? That we kick down the doors of all of these homes? That we ask women about crimes they haven't committed? Do you realize that this is the beginning of a police state mentality when you begin to suspect people of crimes without any evidence whatsoever?
Oh, and excuse me, what evidence do I not have?
Do you have evidence that there is some kind of an epidemic or a trend toward abusing children because there's more and more women returning to the home to be stay-at-home mothers?
I just got done telling you about a baby boy that was bounced down some stairs, picked up, swung around the woman's head as if she was going to throw the hammer in the Olympics, and then threw a basement window.
You don't know she did that. Did she do that?
I am telling you, Phil, because I was a violent criminal at one time. And I thank God, and I mean this, I thank God that I'm no longer like that. But were I still offending, were I still committing crimes, and I had that kind of an opportunity, that is what immediately comes to my mind. In other words, I would swing the child around my head as if I was throwing the hammer, and I would...
And you say that you're healed, huh?
No, I'm just saying to you the mentality of people like that, because I was there once. And so, why isn't anyone looking into this? I'll tell you why. Very simply this. Because these women have spokespeople. Because they have on their payroll, if you will, a variety of spokespeople, Oprah Winfrey, Katie Couric, all of these people, spokespeople for the stay-at-home mom, so that the lie is that it's a healthy pursuit.
Well, I cannot sit here and listen to you assume that it isn't healthy unless you have some evidence that this is... I know you told me about Lois Olson, and I'm sure that there are a lot of women.
But why am I the one? And the other gentleman that I live with, Bill Purnell, lives at our halfway house. He was a world-class child molester. I think he still holds the record for the...
I don't want to talk about these guys as if they're your pals. 1-800-449-8686. Herb Sewell is with us on Stay-at-Home Moms. He don't think it's such a good idea.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Are you for real?
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, Herb, you were at this university in Santa Cruz doing this research, And this was a job that you got, I guess, what, from the administration there? How did you get the job?
Well, I got the job through a service that is provided by, it is a wing of the penal system, if you will. The transitions felons, which is what I am.
Why do you laugh at that?
Well, I never thought I'd be referred to as a felon. I believe, you know, when I was growing up and I was coming up in the world, you know, the last thing I thought it would be Dr. Herbert Sewell or Herb Sewell PhD. I thought it would be Herb Sewell number 781-6235, which was my. My serial number when I first went into Atascadero, and then later when I went to the medical wing, they don't give you a serial number. They assign what they call a tier, you know, because you're so sick. In other words, that they no longer have you incarcerated in terms of cells and cell blocks. They have you incarcerated in terms of your illness. you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying, Herb. No, I don't know what you're saying, man. You gotta understand something. When you're communicating to people,
yes,
about being a child molester, you can't be as cavalier sounding as you are.
Well, I don't understand how you. I mean,
what I'm saying is, you're talking about Bill Purnell, a very good friend of yours, being a world class child molester.
Well, Phil, I understand that I'm using a kind of language that's shorthand. you know.
Well, it's not just shorthand, man. You're sitting down having a barbecue with these guys. Now, look, you may be right about stay-at-home moms.
Well, I suspect I am right. I suspect that there are an awful lot of women. An awful lot of women, Phil, who are, as soon as I brought up the stay-at-home mom being a potential molester, I bet you there are millions of women holding their breath out there right now. You know, in much the same way I did, if I was sitting in a copper penny and I saw a radio car go by, you know, in much the same way.
All right, fine. But the fact is, your crimes are so vicious and horrible that it's very, very difficult for anybody to think about anything other than those, okay?
Well, Walter said the same thing to me, you know, and
now, this is Walter Belhaven you're talking about, right?
That is correct, yes.
And this man was a murderer?
Yes, absolutely. Although he legally insane. You know, legally insane. Otherwise, they would have sent him down Tookie's way, you know, if he'd... yes, he's a murderer. And Walter said to me... In the way that Walter does, you know, that I've got to get with it, you know. But Walter's very different, and
you were treated with electroshock. Has he ever been treated with electroshock?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Walter Belhaven has?
Absolutely, yes.
And has it had any effect on him? I mean, this is a man who's murdered, what, over 100 people?
They think 100 people. They're not sure. It could range up to 200, 300 people. I mean, Walter started murdering when he was 9 years old.
Right.
So they have no idea, but oh yes, he's had electroshock. He there was a period that he was getting electroshock at least a couple, three times a month, and he enjoyed it.
He enjoyed electroshock.
Absolutely, yes.
He liked going in for electroshock.
Oh yes, yes.
Well, what do you mean he liked it?
It refreshed him. I don't know. Have you ever had a B12 shot for a cold?
No.
Well, it sort of wakes you up. And Walter would come out of the medical wing after having electroshock. He had Dr. Raymond's there. And he would come. He'd be a very wonderful spring in his step. He's always very gregarious, very, very... Loved to play cards. And
okay, so you're telling me this convicted multiple murderer comes back from electroshock with a spring in his step?
Absolutely, yes. Offering cigars around to everyone, and we'd chat and sing songs, but it seemed to invigorate him. And, you know, you like to see your friends happy. And,
well, isn't that just nice? So the guy's a multiple murderer, and he had a spring in his step, and he was passing out cigars after electroshock.
Absolutely, yes. But...
well, what is he, Frankenstein? I mean, how can a guy go through that...
I don't know, Phil. It's something in the way he... Walter's energized by electroshock. He's energized by insulin shock. When the doctors say, Walter, we're going to have to put you through another round of insulin shock, he almost slams his hands together and rubs them together as if in sheer delight. I don't know why, but I do know that he is a very, very interesting man, great card player.
And killed over 100 people.
Well, I think that goes without. I didn't think I had mentioned that. You know, he is, after all, in the mental hospital. You know,
is this the guy that gives the lectures on native flora and fauna?
Yes. Wolder, is, in fact, is recognized at the University of California as one of the preeminent authorities on desert flowers, cacti.
How does a guy get into that stuff, just sitting around in prison?
Oh, no, Wolder's been an expert on that for years. He was an arborist.
Walter Belhaven was an arborist?
Absolutely. Had one of the most successful arborist businesses in San Marino, California.
You're kidding. Is that where he made all of his money?
Oh, yes. No, he's still, people still reach out to him. Even families of victims that he's killed reach out to him when they need their trees pruned. Because
oh, bull crap.
Phil, I swear to God.
Are you trying to tell me that people that he killed...
Yes.
Their families still call him for advice on tree rot?
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm not kidding you. That's how good he is. Can you imagine how good an arborist is if he strangles your mother to death in her wheelchair and you can't help yourself? 6 months later, you call him up because you've got termites. That is what I call quality service. And
You know what? I'm going to hang up, man, because I think you're putting me on.
As God is my witness. As God is my witness. You can ask anyone. As a matter of fact, I had two very young peach trees that were not flowering. And Walter, over the phone, told me what to do. And now I have a beautiful peach orchard because of that, near where my mother's buried.
You grew peach trees near your mom's grave?
I don't want to talk about that. I don't talk about mother. But I planted a peach tree there, and I go there. And I don't want to talk at all about mother. And the reason why I don't want to talk about mother is because I love her, and I also hate her, and by God, now I can't breathe.
Just breathe, man. You'll be all right.
All right. But in any event, Wilder is a hell of an arborist, is a great card player, and also, you'd be interested to know, was one of the finalists in a cornet competition in Orlando, Florida.
Are you putting me on? The guy plays the horn?
He plays the cornet. And he plays it beautifully. He plays it like an angel. He plays it like Gabriel.
Where was this?
I think it was 1985. Four or five bodies turned up in a orange grove in Orlando, Florida. Well, guess who was in town at a cornet competition?
Walter.
Walter Belhaven, yes. Yes. And they convicted him of those murders. But he came into the city primarily to compete in a cornet competition, also the French horn, and a number of very, very proficient musicians. And here is this is the thing that just, really breaks your balls. He goes in, he places second, silver medal, the next day is arrested by the Florida Bureau of Investigation, FBI, as well as the Royal Canadian Mounted Police for some murders he committed in Toronto. So he gets arrested for the four murders in Orlando. Three more bodies turn up in Toronto. And all of this in the span of 3 days while he's blowing a horn in Orlando. Do you love it? I mean, this is a...
You know what? I gotta go, man. I'm getting sick.
But why? It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Well,
Yeah, see you later, you Basil Rathbone. That's the most bizarre freaking story I ever heard. The guy goes down to Orlando, Florida for a horn competition, gets a silver medal, four bodies turn up in an orange grove. And three more in Toronto. What he was doing up there. Hey, maybe he knows, maybe Neil Rogers is a buddy of his. Then, what else happened? Oh, yeah, he's an arborist. Even the family of his victims call him up for advice on tree rot. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right. Coming up on the... thanks a lot, Herb, by the way, for another, another trip through freaking Mr. Toad's wild ride. Jesus. Hey, by the way, if you guys look at the phone book under Sewell or under Belhaven Arborists, I got an avocado tree that isn't flowering. All right, we're going to do a little email. I want to remind you that on the 31st, we're doing our next webcast, and that will be followed by our poker tournament on the 27th of May. So here's two very important dates to write. Actually, I got three important dates for you to write down. One is the debut of Teachers on NBC on March 28th at 9:30 in the evening. Two is our webcast on March 31st. You have to have a backstage pass in order to view the webcast. And three is our poker tournament on May 27th. And the money will be to benefit my friend's place. When we raise money for charities, by the way, we give all of the money to the charity. We don't keep some of it. I could. And in fact, sometimes I wish I had, because we've raised over $1 million for my friend's place. And you can hear me stuttering when I say the word, when I say the collection of words, $1 million. I stutter. I'm bereaved. I grieve. I want that money back so very, very desperately. No, we're very happy to have raised it. And we also are very proud of the fact that occasionally we have to stand over the big box of CDs with, something that looks like a baseball bat in case somebody wants to come around and get one for, quote, promotional purposes. Hey, Phil, can we get one of your CDs, man, to give to the affiliates, because we really want to, you know, promote your show? Hey, I got a great idea. Why don't you guys make one yourselves? I think you have the facility to do that. No, we figured as long as you made one. Yeah, sure. That's what I do, man. I come to work to give money to my boss. That's what I call a guy that's thinking. Any employer that can get you to come to work and hand him money is a genius. Anyway, very happy to do it for those guys. And that'll be on the 27th of May at the Bicycle Club in Bell Gardens, California. And we're calling it a celebrity tournament, even though the only celebrity that's going to show up so far is you, bud, because I wouldn't even qualify for that. But in any event, we're going to have a good time. It's a $200 buy-in, and we'll see who the cheap early power is and who all the serious people are, you know? I say $200 immediately, that scares away about 90% of lightweights listening to me, okay? But that still leaves a lot of guys. And I know there's a lot of ringers, and I know there's a lot of cats that make their living gambling. Good, I don't give a crap, man. All the money's going to, you know, like I said, to charity. Or at least as much as I... See, the thing of it is I can't vouch for the Bicycle Club's going to get a piece. But the charity gets... I don't get anything. The charity will get whatever the standard thing is, which I think is a pretty healthy percentage. And, God, now that I think about it, man, maybe I ought to get paid to do this. No, I'm just kidding. It's... All right, it's time now for some email here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's say hello to Dean Martin, and let's say goodbye. Says here, Phil, first of all, thank you so very deeply for spending time with us sick bastards over at sweetfeatheryjesus.com on Monday. It meant much to everyone over there, and we appreciate it. I want to address an answer you gave during the chat in which you stated that you know many women love your show, but that you're not too sure they like it. No, that's not what I said, Christine. Oh, God. Now, what I said was many women like men, love men, but I'm not sure that they like it. That's what I was talking about, men, not my show. Because somebody asked me, how come women don't have as good a sense of humor as men? Or why don't women laugh at the same stuff? Or how come most women don't get my sense of humor? I wasn't even talking about my show. I said it has to do with being a man. Because the stuff that we talk about on this show is very male-oriented. And what we talk about on the show is stuff that men laugh at. Some women do, too. I maintain the reason why some women laugh at humor that men find funny is because those are women that not only love men, they like them. You see the difference? The difference is, look, we've all had women love us at least once in our lives. But how many of those women like you? What are you talking about, Henry? This is some kind of weird... I'm going to tell you right now, man. How many of them actually appreciate who and what the hell it is you are? How many of them know that we wake up in the morning choking with fear? How many of them know that we're not arrogant? We are so far from arrogant, we're hanging on by our fingernails, baby. We're hanging on by our fingernails. Most women don't know that. Most women think that we're arrogant, that we think we own the world... that we treat them badly because we think that they're scum. No, we treat you badly because you remind us of our mothers. All right, we'll be right back. I'm kidding. Well, in my case, I'm not kidding, but most of you guys love your moms, and that's good enough for me. By the way, if you visit Angeles National Forest, you'll find three decomposed bodies put there by me. I'm Phil Hendry. Kidding.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Okay, I got another email to read you here. What the... Turn this off, bud, will you?
I like it.
Turn it off. Hey, Phil, today we had a big meeting at work, and the term low-hanging fruit was thrown out there twice. My buddies looked right to me to see my reaction because I brought that new phrase into my rotation of Phil Henry sayings. Did all I could to not burst out laughing. Then the CEO said, fan out. Fan out. I was loving it. That's another one I've opened my coworkers up to. We now out at meetings. Well, we now end out our meetings with, all right, we all set? Yeah, fan out. On Drudge today, there was a man suing himself for hitting his own vehicle with his work truck. Now, actually, that story's been sent to me three times. What happened was this dumbass hit his own car in a company vehicle. If he were to sue the company, he'd be suing himself. And, of course, naturally, because the news media has got nothing to do, man, but misreport stuff and be funny because they're not. That's how they reported it. God, I hate them all. Oh, wait, I got to do an interview with the Ventura County Star.